Richie Aurelia joins us on KBR 680. Always a pleasure to see him at the ballpark. Spring training, I see you got a smile on your face. It looks like you enjoy it.
Yeah, you know, to be back in uniform and being on the field is always a thrill. And it's a different type of a thrill now because, you know, as a player, you always itch to get back on the field in the spring. But then after about 2 weeks of spring training, you're like, all right, let's get out of here and start the season. But, you know, this year to come back and work with some of the younger guys and actually seeing some of the guys that I played with is exciting. And I'm excited for the year that these guys have ahead of them.
Rich Aurelia with us, and fans, you know the voice. You can just see him on the field at number 35 and just hitting those home runs and playing great baseball. Your first spring training, what was that like? And, you know, the first time you came in March and you got to see what happens in a professional baseball camp.
Well, the funny thing is I didn't go to my first big league spring training camp until after I was in the big leagues. I got called up in 1995 in September with the Giants, and the next spring was my first spring, and you know, at that point, as a young kid, you're trying to make the team any way you can. And we had a veteran infield, Robbie Thompson, Matt Williams, Sean Dunstan, so it was a hard place to break into. So I was the last cut of spring training. I remember the last day I got sent down, but a week later I was back up, and then I was there to stay. So it is kind of nerve-wracking as a young guy because you really want to make the team, you know. But now that I'm older and I'm out of the game, I realize why I got sent down, because they wanted me to play every day and they wanted me to get some more seasoning and more at bats, and I did for a week, and then somebody got hurt and I got called back up. But you know, spring is always that time of year that guys get excited to get back in and start playing again.
Boy, from Brooklyn, New York, my hometown as well. And I, of course, I was at Ebbets Field, and I, as Willie Mays says, were you a Dodger fan? I said, no, I was a Giants fan. I'm not going to tell him the truth. But for you growing up in that area, what kind of a fan were you?
You know, I was a Met fan. You know, my dad grew up a Brooklyn Dodger fan, but I think like a lot of people back in Brooklyn, when they moved out west, it kind of lost its luster a little bit. But I grew up a Met fan, you know, and God, for years they were awful. They were miserable till about the mid-'80s, 83, 84, 85. And, you know, a thrill for me was actually like in the big leagues and getting to play and play first base, and like Mookie Wilson was coaching first base and Howard Johnson was, you know, one of their hitting coach. And, you know, you hate to make guys feel old, but you're like, hey, I used to watch you growing up. And the sad thing is now I'm getting kids tell me that hey, we watched you when I was growing up. But, you know, it was a fun place to grow up, Brooklyn. And you know as well as anybody, you like the Mets or the Yankees and you hate the other one. So I was a Mets fan growing up. But now I'm a Giants fan. I have to be.
You know, it's funny about talking about New York baseball. Juan Perez from the Bronx, DeWitt Clinton, not drafted, and he played in the El Caribe League every Sunday. I remember the parade grounds in Boys High School and Joe Torre playing there and people like that, Sean Dunstan. There's a lot of ball in New York. You just have to find it, but people are playing ball all the time.
Oh, there definitely is, and you know, and honestly, there's a really big Latin influence playing baseball back there. I remember growing up, and there were a ton of, you know, I played for my church team or whatever growing up, but I mean, you'd always play on weekends against these, you know, Latin-based organizations, and they were good. I mean, Manny Ramirez I was playing against, and Frankie Rodriguez when I was coming through, so you played against those guys all the time. But there is baseball there. I think right now it's just overshadowed a lot by, you know, the NBA and the NFL, but there is a lot of good baseball coming out of New York.
Yeah, I remember it quite well, and as I say, the parade grounds near my house and Prospect Park, and I went there, but I was too young to play, but I know that's a spot where people played. Richie Aurelia with us. So this year, Comcast again, you're back doing some analysis, which is terrific.
Yeah, I'll be back with Comcast on a part-time basis doing, I think, somewhere around 50 games or so, and you know, it'd be nice to get back in there again. I miss doing it after 2010. I stepped away for a few years, but you know, got a good group there with Bill Lasky and Vida Blue and Sean Estes, and you know, I'm honored that they you know, they want me back there to get back and do the job that I did a few years ago. And you know, it's a fun thing for me because it keeps me in the game. It keeps me thinking about the game, and you know that as well as anybody. I mean, when you're in the game for a long time, you not necessarily want to get back into the coaching aspect right away or anything, but you want to be in the game, and this keeps me in the game. And I'm fortunate enough that the Giants let me come to camp camp this year, too, again for a week, which has been a blast.
Now you're in the wine business, too, I'm told.
Absolutely, yeah. We, myself and Dave Roberts, and we have another partner, John Misick, we basically started our own winery in 2008, early 2008, and we've had three releases of our Cabernet. It's called Red Stitch, and we have our first Pinot Noir coming out April 2nd. So if anybody, feel free to go to redstitchwine.com and sign up for our mailing list.
Oh, absolutely. Very good. Richie, as you look at the Giants coming off another World Series, and, you know, 22 of 25 are back, just a few spots open, what do you think of this ball club? Do you have any opinion as watching them so far?
Well, I probably, you know, have the opinion that a lot of other people have, you know, just like people had the last two out of 3 years. On paper, that people really don't see it. They see the pitching, but they don't see anything else. They look at the Dodgers spending a lot of money, and they're looking at, you know, the Phillies who are hoping to bounce back, and the Braves and teams like that. But you know what? A lot is to be said for, you know, chemistry. And this team has showed the last few years that they have the chemistry to win. I do think there are a few question marks, though. You know, question mark is, you know, you still need probably another arm in the bullpen. And is it going to be a veteran non-roster guy like a Proctor or a Chad Gaudin? Or are you going to go with a young kid? You know, also it has to be a little bit of a concern is the, you know, the closer role. I mean, this will be the first time that Sergio Romo was basically told, hey, you're the closer. And you're hoping he stays through a whole season healthy because, you know, he's gotten nicked up a little bit in years past with little things here and there. But, you know, if he's right, he can do the job. But they also have Casilla and Affeldt to pick up some slack. And offensively, I mean, I don't think you could really hope for Marco Scudero and Pagan to do any more than they did last year. If they can replicate that or come close to it, I think this team has a good chance to win. Because you look at guys like Hunter Pence, who came over here, didn't really play the way he was capable of playing, but he still had 50-something RBIs in a short amount of time, which shows what the guys ahead of him were doing. Scudero and Pagan. So if those guys can get on base, his team has a good chance of winning again.
You know, Belton Crawford, two other names I'll throw out to you. And I'll go back to your career. And, you know, you had a wonderful career and hit a lot of home runs, part of a pennant-winning team. When did it click for you? How many years were you in the big leagues before you said, okay, I can do this and I know what I'm doing?
I think it took me about 3.5, maybe 4 years, because I wasn't an everyday player right away. I don't even want to term myself a utility guy because I mainly just played shortstop. But when I got a chance to play every day for the first time in about 1998, I played about 75% of the time starting. That's when I got a feel for, like, hey, I can really do this. And the more I play, the more I'm going to learn. And then it's a matter of what you do with it. It's not a matter of coaching. It's not a matter of that. It's a matter in your own mind what you're going to do to that opportunity. And you know, those guys, I mean, Brandon Crawford's going to be a shortstop for them for a long time to come. He legitimately should be one of the top two contenders for Gold Glove this year at short. So I think he showed last year in the postseason what a lot of people didn't see all year, because the Giants don't get a lot of publicity, and he showed how he could play defense. And I think he has a lot of potential offensively. I think he's still learning. I think there's a few things that he can, you know, tweak a little bit or tinker with, but I think he'll be there for a long time. And Brandon Belt, I mean, you know, there were times last year where he just showed flashes of what everybody was expecting of him right out of the gate. But I think what helps Brandon is if he can get off to a good start, and he has the versatility where Boach isn't afraid to put him in left field for a day if Buster needs a day to play first, I think that helps him a lot. Because the thing is, if he's hot, he's going to play. Whether Buster needs a day at first base or not, they'll just put him in left field. So hopefully for those guys, you know, they learned a lot last year by winning, and something will click this year, and they'll take off to have a great career.
Yeah, the mental side of the game, you can't say enough about it. Yogi Berra said mental 80%, physical 60%. And Yogi's right. Whatever Yogi said, he was right. It may not have made sense, but he was right when he said it. Richie, thanks so much as always. Rich Aurelia.
All right, Marty, thank you.
More coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.